Hello, everyone out there. So welcome to Life Church. As you well know, I'm not Ken. So, but Ken is down on South Campus with Pastor Norman, the congregation down there. So we're very excited to be able to do that. We now cover North Campus, and next week he's going to be here, and then I'm going to be on South Campus. So we're really excited. We were very, very serious when we told you that we were putting our arms around these campuses, and we want the experience on South to be like the experience here at North, and so that means that we've got to show up down there. So that's where he is this morning, and you will get what he's preaching next week here, and they're taking this there, right? So they got Surge out of order, but y'all don't have Surge out of order. You're getting it right in order, all right? So this morning, we are going to take a look at gifts or giftings. How many of you love gifts? Birthday, yeah, birthday gifts, anniversary gifts, Christmas gifts. We love gifts. And what do we when we get our gifts? We open them because that's the only way we can use our gifts, right? So the biggest gift that you and I have ever gotten is the gift of the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. God is a gift-giving God, is he not? He begins by giving us his Son, and then he continues to give us gifts even beyond all of that. He does not simply give us the eternal life, just simply eternal life, but he's also equipping us and giving us gifts so we can participate with him as he is redeeming people. We get to participate with Jesus as he's redeeming the world. You and I get to play a part in that. And if we are going to surge, we need to discover and use our giftings. It's really important that we use our gifts and that we allow our gifts to be used in the church as well as in our community. Well, in this sermon series, we have looked at a few things. So first of all, we looked at striving after God, which is the S. In other words, pursuing a very deep relationship with him. We've looked at unity, and unity with God and each other. We were looking at the unity being vertical and being horizontal. And last week, Ken preached on renewal, that we need a surge in renewal to become an unstoppable force. And renewal first happens in our hearts so that we can surge into the region. And today we are looking at the fourth letter, G, as giftings, so that we can discover and operate fully in our giftings. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read a few verses out of there. And I'm going to skip around. So I'm going to do verse 1 and then 4 through 7 so that you can follow along. And it begins with this. Paul says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your position about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." Verse 4, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Now, there's two things in that passage that I want you to be aware of. First of all, the whole idea around the spiritual gifts, the Greek word is packed with a couple other ideas back behind there. And this often happens in when the interpretation or the words that are chosen in our translations are used. The Greek word has several things that it can apply to. And in this Greek word, it's spiritual things, realities, or gifts. And then we notice the word different three times in this passage. Different kinds of spiritual gifts, different kinds of service, and different ways that God works. So what this is lining up for us is that there is not a short list of spiritual gifts, but there is this list that is wide and broad and large for us to walk in and for us to be able to use the uniqueness of who God has created us as a gift to the church and as a gift to the world. So each believer has a gift that will translate into functioning in the church as well as functioning in the community. So on the web, I went and I looked for all the different parts of the body, right? So Paul gives us the analogy that the gifts of the Spirit are like the different parts of our human body. So when I looked up a list that was from A to Z, there was 119 different body parts listed. So as I came down the ABCD list, I also noticed there was a whole lot that was left off of that list. So from muscles and all the bones and from blood vessels and membranes and glands, none of that was in the A to Z, but they said it was the A to Z list of body parts, 119. And so what I find interesting is we take a look at the scriptures that talk about spiritual gifts, and we know those spiritual gifts list. They're listed in 1 Corinthians, they're listed in Romans, and they're listed in Ephesians. And we take a look at them, and oftentimes we try to pick one of those that we feel, perhaps I'm gifted in that, and then we call that our gift. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But what we do is we treat that it is the complete list and there's nothing outside of that list. And that's really not what the scriptures are leading us to. That list in Corinthians, Romans, and Ephesians has multiple things in there, and each one adds a little bit, but they are not exhaustive lists. They're not exhaustive lists. There are other things that can be seen as gifts. Today, I don't want to discuss the lists of scripture of spiritual gifts because I'm sure a lot of you are very familiar with those lists. But today, I want to talk to you about guiding principles to help you discover and operate more fully in the giftings of your life so you can surge in your community and in the house of the Lord. So turn farther down that passage of 1 Corinthians 12, but we're going to take a look at verse 14 through 18, because the first principle is this, that every part belongs and has a purpose and reason for being in the body. So we're translating parts as our spiritual gifts. The gifts that we have a reason to be in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 18 says this, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. So if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. The gifting that you carry, the gifting that I carry, the Lord has given those to us, and he has put us in the body where it best benefits, and he's put us in our communities and our families and the organizations that you work in so that it can be spilled out and spilled over to touch unbelievers. The gifts started with the one central gift of Jesus Christ. When the Father sent his Son, the gift of eternal life, it started there. Giftings, the giving of the gift started there. And within Jesus Christ, all the gifts reside. All of the things that he is gifting the body resides there. So we need to realize that he has uniquely designed us. He's uniquely designed you like no other person. Our fingerprints are not even alike. And our giftings and our gift mixes are not alike. They may be similar, but they're not alike. He knows where he has placed you. He knows how he has gifted you. And he is on task to complete the work in your life. That is the most important thing for you to realize, because oftentimes we really feel that God has either forgotten us, limited us, or put us aside. But you know what? He is on task. He is on point with where you are and what he's doing in your life. He knows exactly who he wants you to become, and he's working with you to get you there. Sir Michael Costa was a great conductor in the 19th century.
It is said that one day he was conducting a rehearsal in which the orchestra was joined by a great choir. Midway through the session, the piccolo player stopped playing. It seemed innocent enough. After all, who would miss that tiny piccolo player? Who would miss the tiny piccolo amidst that great mass of orchestra instruments that were blazing away? Well, all of a sudden, Sir Michael stopped the entire orchestra, and he said, "Where's the piccolo? What happened to the piccolo?" We may sometimes feel like that piccolo player, that we don't have much to offer, that if we stopped our service, our ministry, that if we stopped showing up to church, no one would even notice. Yet the trained ear of the orchestra conductor noticed and wanted the sound of that piccolo in the vast array of those instruments. He valued the piccolo's contribution to the music. And you know what? Jesus, the great conductor, values your contribution to the body of Christ. He notices when you've pulled back. He notices when you've retreated. He notices when you're not walking in the giftings that he's given you to walk in. And he's calling you to re-engage. He's calling you to be a part of what he's doing in this house and in this region and in the lives of the people that you touch. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his mouthpiece into unsaved lives. And he's calling you to continue to participate with what he's doing. Second, every part needs the other parts. Paul reminds us that the eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't have any need of you." And the hand cannot say to the eye, "I don't have any need of you." We cannot say to one another that one part is less important than the other. We certainly know that small parts in our body, when they hurt, a pain in the stomach, a pain in the toe, it stops everything. Or a pain in the head as a headache. It interrupts us. It's a small pain, but it stops our whole movement at times. It stops what we're doing or our concentration, or we have to work around it or work with it. But we take notice when it's that small. And it's the same in the body of Christ. Your part is so important that when it's missing, when it's silent, when you have taken a step back and said, "I'm just not going to do anymore. I'm not going to be a part anymore," the body misses you. And Christ is the one who sees it all and invites you to re-engage. Says, "Where are you? Come home." He sees it. We are all at a disadvantage when the whole is not functioning together. There was a visitor being shown around a leper colony in India. And at noon, a gong sounded for the midday meal, and people came from all parts of the compound to the dining hall. And all at once, you heard this laughter that filled the air, and two young men, one riding on the other's back, were pretending to be a horse and a rider and were having loads of fun. And as the visitor watched them coming towards the dining hall, he was told that the man who carried his friend was blind. But the man who was on his back was lame. The one couldn't see, so he used his feet. And the one who couldn't walk used his eyes. And together, they helped each other with great joy. Imagine a church like that. Imagine that each one of us using our giftings, our abilities, our strengths, our talents to benefit one another. That's what should be happening everywhere, in every congregation, with the believers in the body at large. Paul likens spiritual gifts to the various parts of the human body. And when we each fulfill our function, the whole body benefits. We're all different. We all have uniqueness, but God has gifted every single person, every single one of us. What we also need to understand and realize is that every part contributes to the body through working in cooperation and synergy, just like the leper colony. Your gift is to be used in order to help the body of Christ function well and bring redemption to the lives of others, both in the church and in the world. So, for example, if we take the spiritual gift of service, we could say that the spiritual gift of service is the hand of God being extended to those in need. So precisely this week, Love in Action, we are using the gift of service to reach out to organizations and to people who need very practical help. They need some meals given to the homeless shelter. They are going to have some programs and do some things for homeless children and for Rock House Kids. They're going to go and do gardening at some parks and nursing homes. And we're going to have, everyone out there with their hands on doing things for organizations in our community. That's love in action. That's the gift of service moving in a very, very practical way. That touches people's lives. That ministers. There was a Bible study group that met in a home, and they were studying how various ministries should work together in the body of believers. And one person asked, "I don't quite understand how all of the different gifts could work together." Well, at that moment, a woman accidentally spilled a cup of coffee. And when she spilled it and it fell from her lap, it broke and coffee went everywhere. Well, each member of the group quickly began to assist according to their giftings. The teacher stood first and said, "Next time, if you will just put your cup on the coffee table, this accident won't happen." The administrator responded by organizing a cleanup committee. "Bill, please go find the mop. Sally, can you go help with the towel?" Bill, who had the gift of service, hurried to get the mop. And Sally, who had the gifts of help, followed Bill, saying, "I'll help you, Bill, I'll help you." The person with the gift of exhortation said, "You know, we all make mistakes. It's okay." And the person with the gift of mercy put her arm around her and said, "I feel so badly for you." And then the person with the gift of giving explained, "I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a new set of coffee mugs and I'll replace all the broken ones." And right in that scenario is the way in which each one of those gifts that were in different people responded to take care of the situation that was right in front of them. We're in front of situations every single day. You're in front of situations that need the love of Christ to pour out through you. And you can respond in those moments and in those situations and become a gift to a need that's right in front of you. All you got to do is respond. All you have to do is realize that the gifts that were placed within you is purposed to work good in situations. And those gifts are to come together to work good in the body and in the community. And that's exactly what we're going to see in Love in Action this week. The gifts coming together to our community, to our region, to touching people who truly need to be touched, who truly need to feel the love of God in a very practical way before they will ever listen to a message, a sermon. You know, before Jesus preached to the thousands of people, what did he do? He said they were hungry. Disciples, we need to feed them. Meeting physical needs can open the heart of people's ears to hear. Oftentimes, we need to remember that. So some of you may be saying, "Well, this is great and this is awesome, but I can't really figure out what my gifting is." Well, these next three points are going to help you. So fourth, a spiritual gift usually reveals itself through what we are passionate about, what we're good at, and the affirmation that comes from others. So a spiritual gift usually will reveal itself through what we are passionate about, what we are good at, and the affirmation of others. And if we would represent those three in three circles and bring them together in the middle, all three circles would overlap. And it's right in the middle there where we would most likely find a spiritual gifting. So if we had the circle of ability, that refers to what you are naturally good at, your interests, your hobbies, your skills. Perhaps you took education for something and you're very good at that. That's your ability. Your affinity is really what you're passionate about. And sometimes what we're passionate about is where we are skilled. And so those two circles come together. But the affirmation is the third one. And it's what people recognize that, wow, you're really good at that. I really see how that works in your life. And that's right often where a spiritual gift will reside. So God will often take our natural talent and he will supercharge it for his purposes. He will take what we are really good at, what our interests and our hobbies are, or what we've learned in education, what we've skilled ourselves with, and he will supercharge it and he will use it for his glory. We see that in the life of Paul. Paul was a great thinker, a great leader. He was out among the people with the Jewish communities, but he was working against God with what he was saying and doing. And it wasn't until on the road to Damascus, when Jesus interrupted his travels and he began to deal with Paul, that Paul's focus then turned from the destruction to becoming the mouthpiece for what God was doing in those areas and in the region. And so Paul was a communicator. Paul was educated. Paul was well known. And all of those came into place. And Jesus used him, God the Father used him to change the world, to write scripture, and to help birth the church. So God will sometimes use our natural abilities, and he will superpower them. But there's always exception. God will often use us in spite of our weaknesses or our lack. God will oftentimes call us and give spiritual gifting that have little to do with our natural ability. And sometimes that's where we have a hard time allowing the Lord to use us because we don't feel qualified, equipped, or good enough. Well, do you remember Moses when he was called in Exodus chapter 4? Moses said this, "Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. And even though you've spoken to me, don't you know I get tongue-tied and my words get all tangled up?" But then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what you are to say." But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send somebody else." We know the end of that story, and we know that Moses eventually went. But right up front, he's in this conversation with God going, "God, I just don't think. Don't you know I can't speak? Don't you know I'm getting all tongued? So don't send me in front of the Pharaoh to say anything because that ain't going to work for me." And yet, when Moses agreed and Moses went, we know the story of how the children were then led out of Egypt. God will sometimes use us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our abilities or lack thereof. Because when we are used in a place where we feel inadequate, then the results can be only explained by the power and grace of Jesus Christ. They're not identified with our ability. They're only identified with the grace and power of Jesus Christ. So the next time that you feel like God can't use you, I want you to remember these people. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was homely in appearance. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was depressed, wanting to die. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying for Jesus. Martha worried about absolutely everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small, and Lazarus was dead. Every one of those people we know because their story was told in the scripture. The story of their faults, their brokenness, their sin. But the story was about their redemption. So when you begin to think that you don't have it all together, guess what? God uses broken and imperfect people. Thank God he does, because none of us would be used. Because that's who Jesus uses in Scripture. Number five, spiritual giftings will arise out of the unique ways God has written your life story. This entire book is a story book. It is the story of a loving heavenly Father who desired to have the earth and us as a part of his life, to be created in his image. It's the beginning of that story to the end of how it's all going to play out. And in the midst of it are all the stories of the people that intertwined and believed and needed the love, the mercy, and the grace, the deliverance, and the healing of God. It's all about the stories. And the greatest gift that you and I have received is the gift of the Son into our lives, the part of the story that we have embraced. And the greatest gift you have to give is the story that Jesus is writing within your own life. It's your story that is the most precious gift you have to give. God has allowed us through particular experiences to learn about who he is. Moses learned that in his inadequacies, when he said, "I can't talk right," that God used him anyways. When Elijah was depressed and down and out, God used him anyways. Naomi, Ruth, Deborah, Priscilla, and Aquila, Peter, James, John, God used every single human being besides the fact that they were broken. In spite of that. Why? Because it's not about our perfection. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best you can be is a filthy rag. He uses us because he loves us. He knows the work that he's doing inside of us. And he invites us into the story with his Son, to walk alongside of his Son and allow the Son of God to do the work within us. Why? So that we are oaks of righteousness, it says in Psalms, that when we become oaks of righteousness because we've allowed the Lord to work within our heart, the world looks upon us and that's the witness. And the witness sees the story, all the garbage in the story, right? We've read all the garbage in David's story, have we not? We've read all the garbage in Paul's story, have we not? Jonah's story. Sometimes we are so embarrassed over where we've come from, the mistakes we've made, the things we've done that we wish we could reverse, that we stop telling our story. And you know what? Full redemption is because we line up and we become authentic and we tell our story. And people are touched. When I was diagnosed with bipolar, psychotic episodes, 1,600 milligrams of drugs a day, for 3.5 years, I fought an illness that wanted to take me out too. But the Lord's hand came in and he redeemed it all, and I'm grateful for that. But if I would stop telling my story, people who are struggling today with depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, mental illness, where would be their hope? Because when I was struggling, I looked for stories. I wanted to know, did the Lord touch anyone that had what I had? I needed that hope. I needed someone to say, "Yes, I've been there, Crystal. God is faithful. He will come through. Here's my story." And I literally couldn't find a story because it was not talked about in the 90s. You didn't say you had depression. You didn't say you had a mental breakdown. You didn't say you were on medication. Why? Because for some odd reason, that wasn't spiritual. But it kept me searching. God, there's got to be somebody somewhere who's walked my road and has some hope for me. So that was the main reason I wrote my book. Because I couldn't find anyone in that decade with a story like mine. And I said, "Lord, after he healed me, I will write my story so that people will know and hear that there is hope in the mental realm. I know sometimes it's really hard to tell the junk of our lives because we're embarrassed over it. But you know what? The world needs the stories of redeemed people. The world needs to hear that someone has come out of a drunken lifestyle. Someone came out of a womanizer lifestyle. Someone came out of a broken marriage and a family's put back together again. The world needs to hear that. And the only way they're going to hear that is if we start to tell our stories. And it's the most amazing, beautiful gift to the world when we can tell that, to say, well, it was awful, or they gave me up for dead, or they said I'd never have my mind again. But God, that's what the world is hoping for, that there is a God who would reach to them, that there is a God who would speak to them through a person. That's what they're hoping for. I speak to numerous peoples who have read my book or been on my website or who have been in a class or been somewhere where I've taught in different countries and even in stateside. And I talk to them all the time and they're like, I finally have some hope. We are the hope of the world. We carry Jesus Christ, but what we really carry is the story of Jesus within us. And that's what impacts the world. God writes each of our life stories in unique ways so that we can testify about him to others. My question to you is, are you willing to let Jesus tell your story? Are you willing to allow it to come out? The Spirit of God, number six, the Spirit of God works in our vocations and in our hobbies. This is an often overlooked dimension of how the Spirit gifts us. God has gifted all of us in hobbies, interests, and in our vocation. And oftentimes we look past that because through church history we have tended to reduce the Spirit's empowerment to church stuff. Preaching, teaching, children ministries, worship, young adult ministry, youth ministry, whatever that is, we have reduced the Spirit's empowerment to say that that's where it all belongs. It is there, but that is not where it all is. It's all of the vocations, all of the hobbies, all of the interests is where the power of the Spirit is also residing and causing us to give that out. Our vocational abilities, our interests, and hobbies are a part of our individual callings. They're a part of that. You know, I love horses, and I do horse camps, and I do horse clinics. And I go, and I'm around a whole lot of people who are unsaved. And more recently, in the last couple years, there's this couple who the husband went through some bad health things. They were not believers. But they knew who I was. They actually read my book and had discussion with me over a God who might heal them. See, so my little horse hobby, that is my interest, my love from a child, I am able, if I'm listening, to identify that the Lord will speak through me when I'm in that arena to unsaved people. It's part of our calling. It's part of who we are. Because the very thing that we are given to give out, the very gift that needs to go out is the gift of Jesus Christ to the lost world. That's the gift that needs to go. In Exodus 31, we find two carpenters that were anointed of God and appointed by God to make the furniture for the tabernacle. They were gifted craftsmen. With wood, with stone, artistic designs. Exodus 31 talks about their story. God has gifted the vocations, the vocational aspects, our hobbies and our interests. Quilting, painting, carpentry, design, engineering. It's all gifted by God. So at Living Water, we also did a Light the Night. It was called Trunk or Treat for us. It was out in our parking lot, and we had hundreds of cars, and thousands of people would come. One year, one lady said, I feel the Lord calling me to make hats and mittens and scarves for every child that walks through this line. And I'm going to get a group of women together who know how to crochet and to knit, and we're going to make the sets all year long. We would get 3,000 to 4,000 people come through because we were right on a main drag and we were right between two major housing complexes that were low income. Hundreds of people lived within walking distance of our church. And so that year that they made that commitment, they gave out over 3,000 scarves, hats, mittens, sets to the community. One lady's passion to crochet and got others together, touched a community that needed hats, mittens, and gloves, and scarves. Children who didn't have that from the communities that we were drawing. The Lord used her hobby, her interest, what she had learned all those years to bless the community. We often don't look for the small things. We're looking for the bright thing, the stage, the performance, this or that. God is moving in every minute of our life. And he's calling us to participate with him. And he's calling us to bring our gift to him and allow him to use us and stop minimizing the gift and the callings that are on our life. Stop looking for the big shiny object and realize it's right in front of you. It's right in your hand. It's the hobby. It's that interest. It's the education. It's what you've skilled yourself in. It's what you love. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. When we use our gifts well, we surge and we bring impact to the lives in the body of Christ and to the lives in the community. Start with your passion, your talent. What makes your heart beat fast when you feel like, oh, this is it? Start there. And then allow the Lord to work from there. We think God always asks us to do what we can't do and what we don't really want to do or that I don't have any interest. I laugh a lot of the times when young people are called into the ministry or they're hoping they're not called because they don't want to go far away to Africa or Ethiopia or Russia, or they don't want to go. No, I'll go here, so I'm not going to listen to them. We always think God's going to send us somewhere where we don't want to go or use us for something that we don't want to be used for. It's wrong thinking. God can use you right where you are with what you have in your hand, right at your desk, right at the restaurant, right down the row of the grocery store, the gas station. God could use you. Just open and allow yourself the opportunity to be used.